You're listening to Talk of the Nation Science Friday. I'm Ira Flatow. Up next, how what you eat affects greenhouse gas emissions. By now, you've probably heard that you should eat locally. We're all out there trying to buy those locally grown foods to cut down on the miles your food travels before it gets to your plate. Locavores, as they're called, say eating food grown close to home cuts down on greenhouse gases that are belched into the atmosphere when we fly grapes in from Chile, or we truck lettuce across the continent, or we ship water in from the South Pacific. That one drives me crazy. But in a soon-to-be-published paper, two researchers from Carnegie Mellon University say you can have a much bigger impact on greenhouse gas emissions by switching your diet away from red meat and dairy, switching toward fish, chicken, and veggies. Christopher Weber is assistant research professor in civil and environmental engineering at Carnegie Mellon in Pittsburgh. He joins us by phone. Welcome to Science Friday, Dr. Weber.
Thanks a lot. Glad to be here.
I think we're a little shocked here that, you know, that shopping locally is not the answer.
Well, we've certainly gotten that response from a good few people that it was pretty surprising. And, you know, I don't really know what to tell you.
Well, tell me what you found. What did you find is why if we switch to fish, chicken, and veggies, do we cut down on our greenhouse gases?
Well, so essentially what we were trying to do is look at all of the greenhouse gases that are emitted in both producing food and transporting it back and forth, all the way back through the supply chain. And basically what we found is that people are very concerned about CO2, and CO2 is this big buzzword. But for agriculture and food products, actually CO2 is only about half the story, and it's these non-energy-related greenhouse gas emissions caused by methane and nitrous oxide that are mostly related with meat production. And this is what makes meat look fairly bad compared to just eating grains, vegetables, and other products.
Mm-hmm. And they're very energy intensive. Is that what you're saying?
Well, so actually, it's not related to energy at all. It is related to energy in that energy causes CO2. But one of the things that people have looked at in the past that has caused people to focus on this food miles concept is looking only at energy. But what we did was bring in these other non-energy related greenhouse gases, and they're so potent, they're, you know, about 20 and 200 times the potency of CO2, that even though they're smaller quantities, they end up adding up quite a bit.
And that would be methane?
Yeah, methane, which is caused by manure management, for the manure that's coming out of all the animals that we're raising to make meat and dairy, and also nitrous oxide that's associated with decomposing fertilizers and manure.
So is this, how shall I put it? Is this cows are burping or...
Yeah.
Or so whatever.
a large share of the methane is due to what's called ruminant animals. These are the animals that have multiple stomachs. Uh-huh. And as they digest, they actually produce methane and coming out of both ends.
Passing gas on the other
passing way. Passing gas and burping, yes.
And that's a lot of methane, you're saying.
It is a lot of methane, actually. If you look over the life cycle of producing the cow for either dairy or beef, it turns out to be quite a bit, yeah.
And it would make a significant impact in greenhouse gases.
Oh, yes, definitely.
Can you give us a figure on that?
For example, in the life cycle of beef, we found that transportation, you know, where you're getting your beef from is a very, very small portion of the overall greenhouse gases associated with it, you know, like less than 5%, whereas the methane that's associated with the manure and the burping and passing gas, as you said, is something like 30 to 40%.
Wow, I had heard years ago that cows are malnourished even pass more gas.
Yeah,
than healthy cows.
Yeah, and that is true. And one of the unfortunate side effects also is that people like to talk about eating grass fed cow versus grain fed cow and how that will save energy because then you eliminate all the energy that it took to make the grains. But actually, cows that are eating grass as opposed to grain actually burp more methane than the cows that are not eating grain.
This is complicated, isn't it?
It's very complicated, yes.
I mean, to figure out your footprint and which it's better to do, feed the cows the grass or feed the cows the grain, or You think you're doing one thing, and then you do the calculations looking at it from a different angle, and you come up with something else.
Yep, exactly. It is really complicated, and that's why, you know, we were trying to be kind of all-inclusive, and you know, we use these models that
right.
let us show all the greenhouse gases associated with the whole life cycle.
So you've come up with the solution, then. Don't you know, consider that whether it's grain or grass, just do away with the cow.
Well, that's... Certainly what the numbers say, that, you know, ruminant animals are, no matter what's going on with how they're produced, they're always going to have this problem of burping and passing gas methane. If the manure is managed in a better way, then you can cut out the nitrous oxide and methane emissions there, you know, and if they're fed grass, then you can cut out the energy that's associated with that. But you're never going to get rid of the fact that, you know, they're breathing methane, which is a potent greenhouse gas.
Mm-hmm. And is there any way to take the methane out of the manure so it doesn't go into the air?
Yes, there certainly is. And this is one thing that if you do shop locally and you know your farmers, one of the advantages of shopping locally is that you can, you know, get to know the production practices of the farmers you're buying from. And one of the things to ask people is, are you currently capturing your biogas? And what this means is when the manure is collected, usually into some pit or a lagoon, they can actually put a lid on the lagoon and catch the methane and then burn it to make like heat, to heat the farm. And so thus you're not only eliminating the methane, but you're also recovering that energy that's in the methane, and then you won't have to use electricity.
Mm-hmm. That's quite interesting. And so where do you go from here? You're going to look at other kinds of, is it methane you're going to concentrate on, or other energy saving?
Well, there's certainly doing any type of analysis, like you said, like this, is really complicated. And moving forward, we're hoping to be able to refine the study a little bit more and look at some of the more interesting choices that people have, like the whole organic versus local mm-hmm. question is
right.
one that a lot of people like to think about. And, of course, in terms of greenhouse gases aren't necessarily the reason people buy organic, but they do have an effect on greenhouse gases. So that's one of the things we want to look at going forward.
Mm-hmm. One last question. So let's say you don't want to go whole hog. So that's the wrong terminology. giving up beef altogether. Can you just, you know, wean yourself a little bit from the meat, and could you have it just once a week and feel like you're making a contribution?
Absolutely. And this is one of the things we were trying to tell people here is that, you know, this is not an all or nothing thing. This is something you can cut a little bit out of your diet, and we actually calculated this in the paper and said that going all completely local, you would cut out something like 4% of the greenhouse gases in your diet. And you could do the same thing by just shifting one day per week away from red meat and dairy towards basically anything else, chicken, fish, eggs, or vegetables.
One day a week. Let me see if I can get a quick call in here from Helene in Palo Alto. Hi, welcome to Science Friday.
Hi, thank you very much. I liked your comment about whole hog, because I have to point out that pigs are not ruminant animals and actually are not nearly as bad as cows. But I did want to say that although I've developed a food carbon calculator. It's at eatlowcarbon.org. And we use a somewhat different analytical framework as what Professor Weber is talking about, but come to the same conclusions. That really red meat, most red meats and cheese are really the big culprits here. But we also found that it's not an either-or situation. And certainly if you're talking to vegetarians, that they can't do anything if you're just saying, you know, get away from red meat. This really is a process of looking at our diets and saying what's healthy for us is also healthy for the planet.
Mm.
Less red meat, less cheese, but also local produce. So for those who really want to work toward a diet that is more reflective of these concerns, doing both is important and is ultimately an investment in future food that is inherently more sustainable and lower greenhouse gas emitting mm-hmm. over time.
All right, Helene, we'll go to eatlowcarbon.com.
Dot org.
Eatlowcarbon.org and take a look. Thanks for calling.
Thank you.
And you're not saying, Chris, to do away with the local eating.
Absolutely not. No, we've gotten some kind of negative responses from proponents of eating local. And, you know, both me and my colleague, Scott Matthews, who are on this paper, we both buy locally, and there are many, many good reasons to buy locally, including reducing the energy used to transport food. We just wanted to show that people have tended to ignore this dietary choice thing in favor of only buying locally. And like our caller said, it's important to do both.
Yeah, as far as the eating the meat, you said once a week. How much should we cut back on our dairy products?
Well, that's it's once a week in terms, or 1 day per week of red meat and dairy is how the calculation came out. But red meat is even worse than your dairy products. So cutting out red meat once a week would be more important than cutting out cheese once a week. But doing both is even better.
1-800-999-8255. Let's go to Josh in Iowa City. Hi, Josh.
Hello.
Hi there.
I had heard several years ago about research to possibly use a vaccine or some kind of injection, I believe on sheep, to change the bacteria in their stomachs to produce less methane, but I haven't heard anything about that research since. Does your guest know anything about that?
That's an excellent question. I've also heard things about that, but I'm not a geneticist, and I've never heard of certainly anyone commercializing something like that. As far as I know, if it is still going on, it's definitely in the research phase.
Thanks for calling, Josh. Well, the cow has to have that stuff to digest the food, right?
Yeah, I'm not exactly sure how that would work scientifically.
Yeah, so if you're saying if we take some of the cow out of the equation, we can cut back on the grass and everything else.
Yeah, the one thing people are looking into now is lab-grown meat, which, of course, would cut out the whole digestion problem if we're just going meat in test tubes, a lot of people aren't comfortable with that, of course.
Yeah, we talked about that a few weeks ago.
Mm-hmm.
The idea that it wouldn't look like you think it's going to look.
No, it wouldn't. It's true. But, interestingly enough, People for the Ethical Treatment of Animals has just, put out this prize. So.
Yeah, I know. We did that story. Thank you, John, Christopher, for taking time to be with us.
Yeah, thank you.
Christopher Weber, Assistant Research Professor in Civil Environmental Engineering at Carnegie Mellon University, talking to us by phone. We're going to take a short break and go on to our next topic.